I love hearing stories of how some work of art or piece of entertainment has changed somebody's life. Julia Pawlowski was a bookish kid. When she was 9, she took The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, a 1,200-page history book, to summer camp. That's bookish. And true to type, I know from experience, she was also kind of an introvert.
When I was a small child, I was actually a very shy person, really pretty much a doormat. I had a habit of attaching myself to girls who were much more popular and vocal than me and essentially just following them and doing whatever they told me to do. I had a speech impediment. I've gotten over it since. I had a hard time reading social cues. So I had this vast desire to have conversation and to connect, but it was very difficult for me. But I also had a very active fantasy life. I mean, I had a very active internal life.
The book that changed Julia's life out of all the ones she'd read was Philip Pullman's The Golden Compass, which came out in 1995 and was the first book in the fantasy trilogy called His Dark Materials.
There was so much about it that really caught me. First off, it had this female protagonist of the age I was reading it. Lyra Silvertongue, the main character, was 13 as well. And I also loved all the different worlds that were imagined in this book. And then, of course, there was the demons.
Even if you don't know you've got a demon, you have. You wouldn't be human else. You'd be half dead.
So, just to be clear, this isn't a demon like in a horror movie. Philip Pullman was borrowing the idea of the demons, that's D-A-E-M-O-N, from the Greeks. Plato writes about Socrates talking to his daimon, a voice inside his head, like an imaginary guide. In The Golden Compass, your demon is real. It takes the form of an animal.
A demon is the other half of your inner dialogue, is the way I like to think of it. The way most people usually work out thoughts in their own head, the characters in this book would work these things out between human and demon. And when you're young, the animal changes from form to form, whatever you feel like at the moment, whatever represents what's going on right now.
Her demon's name was Pantalaimon, and he was currently in the form of a moth, a dark brown one, so as not to show up in the darkness of the hall.
Hiding and spying is for silly children.
Oh, exactly what I knew you'd say. Now stop nagging.
The two of them sat in silence for a while, Lyra uncomfortable on the hard floor of the wardrobe, and Pantalaimon self-righteously twitching his temporary antennae on one of the robes.
Lyra is 13 in this series, so Pantalaimon, for the vast majority of the series, doesn't have a fixed form. He changes a lot, but he has certain favorite forms that he takes. So he takes the form of a little brown moth. He likes to be a wildcat. Usually when Lyra's feeling, like, angry and incensed, he'll become a wildcat and put his fur up and growl. You know, he can be a rat when she's feeling kind of suspicious. And so I liked this idea of some way to express emotion that was not verbal and was not typical body language either. It was just like this, just pouring yourself into this animal shape. When I was 15, I was spending the summer doing an internship at a genetics lab. I really liked the internship, but I got pretty bored and alone during the breaks. And I remember one lunch break, I was in the lab, and I remember remembering the demons and how cool they were and how much they fascinated me. So I decided to read about them online. I thought somebody must have written something about this. And I guess what I found that really spoke to me was that this idea of the demon was actually a widespread human experience. Lots of people have thought about this. So there's the daimon. And then there's the aspect of, like, an animal representing yourself, which is common in a lot of cultures. There's the Nahual in Aztec culture, and there's something called a Fylgia in Norse culture. And so I found through my research that this was, like, a really widespread human experience. It wasn't just something that Philip Pullman pulled up out of nowhere. And that's when I decided, if the Norse can do it, if the Aztecs can do it, if Socrates could do it, if Philip Pullman can write about it, then I can have a demon too. So the first thing I did is I was sitting in my genetics lab and I decided, okay, right here, right now, I'm going to picture a demon with me. And he'll be with me just like Pantalaimon's with Lyra all the time. So I pictured a canary perched on the lab bench. And then I went off to get my sandwich for lunch break, and he flew with me down the street, and I just focused on keeping him very clear in my mind, like picturing him. How are his wings moving as I move down the street? Like, I'm stopping by the stand to buy the sandwich. Where is he perched right now? What is he looking at? Over the years, my demon took many different forms. It's almost always been birds. I liked this way of expressing myself, like the fact that they could appear so different from one another. I mean, there's everything from plain black ravens to scarlet macaws that are in a rainbow of colors. Another thing that happened around that time was that that I was starting to understand myself as being gay. I remember he said to me, let's spend a day just like with the thought in mind, like, I am gay. Let's just go through the day like that and see what happens. I would spend a day being gay and only my demon knew about it. He didn't even say anything when I came out to my parents. He was just perched on my arm, and just like that feeling of him being there was so important when I was coming out. So in the world of His Dark Materials, when you're a kid, you're in the series, your demon represents your emotions at the moment, or how you feel at the moment, so it changes all the time. But when you become an adult, it settles into a shape that represents who you are.
We used to talk about Pan settling, him and me. We used to wonder what he'd be.
Don't people have any idea?
Not when they're young. As you grow up, you start thinking, well, they might be this or they might be that. And usually they end up something that fits. I mean, something like your real nature.
But I'm not in the world of His Dark Materials, and so my demon won't magically settle on his own as something that represents me without my input. I had to find it out for myself. And so that meant a lot of research into different animals and trying to find out which one's behavior matched me. So the animal I ended up settling on is a jackdaw. Jackdaws are these very common relatives of crows. And like crows, they're very curious animals. They always, when they encounter something new, they pick it up and poke at it to find out if it could be food. They're very resourceful, adaptable animals, and they're just as common as weeds. Jackdaws form very strong social relationships with other jackdaws, and they cement it by doing mutual feeding. They'll take some of their favorite food items that they find and give it to their friend, and then the friend will give it back. They're also very playful animals. They have a sense of humor insofar as you could say an animal has one, but if anything does, it's crows and their relatives. These birds are very competitive. So I recognize in myself that I have a very strong, ambitious, competitive streak, which is not always my best quality, but it can sometimes be a good quality too. So now I'm 24, and I'm a PhD student in biology at Tufts University. I study social behavior in paper wasps. And honestly, a lot of my encyclopedic knowledge about animals just comes from having researched them for my demon form. So these days I don't converse with my demon as much, and I don't visualize him as much, though when I'm working on my own, then I'll visualize him on my desk. He kind of keeps me on track a lot. I have a very, well, magpie mind. A jackdaw mind, right? I just still find it so soothing, just like picturing him flying with me as I walk around.
Julia Pawlowski lives in Boston, where this show airs on WGBH, and our story was produced by Zoe Azoulay with help from Josh Rogerson. Has a piece of literature or a movie or play or album or building changed your life? Tell us about it at studio360.org. We might put your story on the air.